Yes, yes. Welcome to Filmmaker Commentary. I'm Reginald Titus Jr. I'm joined with
Casey G. Smith.
Welcome back, sir.
Good to be back, sir.
And welcome to the pre-show of Filmmaker Commentary.
That's right.
Next, on this coming up Monday, we're going to be going over the 99.5th episode.
That's right.
And that's Grand Budapest Hotel.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I was actually surprised how well done that film was. I didn't expect to like it the way I did.
Yeah, quality.
It's a good surprise. Good surprise. We'll talk about that more on Monday. And then after that, of course, is our 100th episode.
Tell your friends.
Yes, indeed. Until then, any news?
So according to the Hollywood Reporter, at the Cannes International Film Festival, the winner of the Palme d'Or was the film Titane. I may not be pronouncing that correctly, so apologies. But it won for that category, which is like the top prize at Cannes. And it was somewhat a little funny. The beloved Spike Lee was a guest there and actually accidentally kind of spoiled it a little prematurely at the opening of the ceremonies.
So like he was announcing that they were going to win, but he did it a little... Was it way early or is it like a minute early?
It seemed like it was fairly early. It was from the little clip that I saw. It looks like it was fairly early because as soon as like he said, "Oh, and the you know the one of the Palme d'Or was Titane," and they were like, "No, wait!" You know, and there was like, "Oh, a little bit of confusion." And they kind of just carried on with it. But yeah, it seemed like it was like there were other awards.
Can you imagine that though? Like you're hoping that your worldly film will make it, and then early in the show you find out that your competitor has actually won it.
Dreams crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would actually suck, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of rough. But it's also historical because the director, Julia, again, on the pronunciation of the name, Ducournau, also known for the film Raw, is only the second female director to claim the top prize at Cannes. So congratulations to her and to her film.
And speaking of which, a first, Spike Lee was the first black person to ever lead Cannes' prestigious jury.
Very nice, very nice. Congrats.
First black person, period.
All right. Hopefully they'll invite us back. We had a little snafu, but you know what? You need a chance to be able to make mistakes.
Something.
Yes.
Like, oh, see, that's why we didn't. That's why we invite him.
You must be free to make some mistakes. So,
well, he just makes a grand entrance.
There you go.
Is that it for news?
That's it for news.
Have you been watching any trailers?
I have. So I actually watched one. It was somewhat of almost a mini little featurette on the upcoming Suicide Squad movie, which I'm getting pretty excited about.
Okay.
It looks like it's going to be fun. That one, I think I'm actually going to try to go and see in theaters also as well. I think, you know, I definitely want to see that in theaters. I want to hear the sounds. It's James Gunn. I loved the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Second one, meh.
What about third one? Is there a third one?
It's not coming to like 2023. But like, yes.
It's all merging together.
Yes, there will be a third.
I keep seeing them.
It will be in the future.
Okay.
But I'm excited at what he can do. What he will do with this Suicide Squad. I've heard some early buzz, some early reviews, is that it's getting some nice early reviews. So, okay. And he's got a killer cast. I mean, you got Margot Robbie, you've got Idris Elba, you got John Cena doing his thing, and some other good talent in the mix. So, yes, that was a fun featurette. And seeing James Gunn, all white hair, all grayed out, hair and
beard. That was strange, because the behind the scenes, he's got all brown hair. With I call it the wet face when there's no hair. Got the wet face going and all brown hair, looks younger, and then cut to all white hair, all white beard and mustache, like completely white.
I'm James Gunn from the future.
For real.
You've been hanging with Rick and Morty? What's going on? I'm future James. Yeah, it's very, he looks like a grandfather for real, but I suspect maybe there was some dye involved.
Previously. Yeah, I was like, man, maybe he's a character in his in the film or something, you know, quick little cameo or something. I don't know. But it's maybe not.
It looks too natural, though.
Like, or maybe he's a cameo in another movie. He's just doing the behind the scenes now. I don't know.
I think that they shot this footage.
Yeah.
And they went in a post. And then when they decided to put this featurette together, everybody had already been interviewed. And so they're in there, what they're wearing on set. And then he did his piece to talk about it.
And it's a little more current.
Months later, it's COVID and all that kind of stuff. Because he's got the COVID beard and all that good stuff. And no dye. No hair dye. And that's just James.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Or maybe he's in a movie. Maybe he's shooting Guardians 3. I don't know.
Maybe.
When is Suicide Squad? When is that one dropping?
Suicide Squad is dropping fairly soon at a theater near you. We can expect it to hit in the month of August, if I'm not mistaken, specifically on August the... No, that's not right.
Oh, this coming up August.
Yeah, this one's dropping real soon.
Okay.
I just don't have the date.
No worries. If we ain't got it, we ain't got it.
I figured it would pop up on the IMDb.
Were there any more trailers?
I watched a real funny trailer. It was like this pseudo reaction, and it was... It's on Ryan Reynolds' channel, which his channel is, it's worth following.
Okay.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is.
He's a character.
He's a treasure, man. Ryan Reynolds is a treasure because he promotes like his multiple, like different brands and just different stuff that he's doing, right? He's got the Mint Mobile stuff and then the tequila brand and stuff for that. But then, right, for his upcoming movie, Freeman, it's him on a couch dressed as Deadpool, but Deadpool of course is talking like he is not Ryan Reynolds, like, you guys think, you know, saying we're just alike or whatever, but next to him is Korg from the MCU, and they're there to do a trailer reaction to Ryan Reynolds' new movie Freeman.
Okay. They've been pushing that movie for a minute.
Yeah. And he even like makes a joke about that. He's like, didn't this already come? Like, it's dude, it's great, man.
I'm about to check it out.
Yeah, it is great. And then Korg, I mean, dude, this is full on Korg CGI. Taika Waititi, who actually directs Freeman. It's
really, didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't either. But they're talking, going back and forth, and you know, obviously Deadpool is like making jokes. You know, how can I get Disney to call me back and get into the MCU? Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. I'm like, man, this dude. Yeah, Reynolds, he has his stuff together. But yeah, worthwhile checking out Deadpool and Korg react to Freeman.
Okay. Is that it for trailers?
The other trailer that I saw was for Titan.
Oh, so yeah.
Since I saw it won the awards, I was like, okay, let me watch this trailer. And yeah, it looks... It looks like it's going to be disturbing, but I'm fascinated to see it. Right, it'll be one of those films that when it becomes available, it seems like the kind of film that would come to like Amazon Prime or something like that. Mm-hmm. It would maybe pop up there, but when it pops up, I will definitely look to check it out.
Okay, all right. Have you been watching any television or movies?
I have. How about yourself?
Yes. Who would like to go first?
You want to kick it off?
The Shape of Water. On Hulu.
All right. Had you never seen it before?
Never seen it.
Ah.
Yeah. The only reason I didn't see it, because I was hoping to get the commentary, and Guillermo, this is the first time he didn't have commentary. That's right. So I was kind of just dragging my feet on doing it. And I don't think I was like in that space, you know, to watch a fantasy, you know, what is it? Beauty and the Beast? Yeah. Beauty and Beast story, fantasy. I wasn't in that zone. What zone was that when that came out?
That was the same. Wait, I'm going to try to get my...
It's about the same year as Get Out.
No, I would say no, this is a couple of years prior.
Prior.
Okay. Because I remember I went and watched that film in theaters at the Magnolia.
Ah.
And it was the year... It came out the year after Birdman.
It was the same year, I believe, the Billboard movie was out.
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
If I'm not mistaken.
Or something like that. That maybe sounds about maybe. Right. Because I think she won a bunch of... Frances, she won quite a few awards for her performance.
Yeah. Don't know. But like, I could be wrong, but but that popped in my head for whatever reason. But Guillermo, when I saw like the creature in the trailers at the time, I was like, oh, that's the same creature he had in Hellboy. When you go back and look at Hellboy, right. It's like, we've seen this creature before.
Sure. Kind of like, almost like Creature from the Black Lagoon, underwater aquatic.
Yeah, looks exactly the same. Well, not exactly the same. I mean,
it's similar.
Yeah, the CGI is like, okay, we've seen this creature before. I wonder if this is like a little kind of like prequel or, you know, this is the creature. He doesn't really age.
Well, they come from the same family, right? Maybe the same city, same civilization.
And turns out the same body actor that plays the character in the Hellboy that was in that suit is the same one that's playing in the suit in Shape of Water.
He's got that body shape.
Yeah, he's a real slender guy. It's like he walks like him, tall, real tall, slender.
I forget the dude's name. He does some unique roles because of his body shape.
Yeah, but I watched it with the wife. We dug it. She really dug it. You know, it was interesting to see. Like all the themes in the film, like just from a color standpoint, like just a lot of green and blues is like what he was painting with. And then Guillermo with the special effects background. I like, that's why I like watching his films, because he's going to pay a lot of attention on to the creatures, to the gore, to everything. There's going to be tons of detail. And then I know one of the things that was like kind of spoiler alerts. 2017, right? When it came out.
Yes, 2017.
But like when the movie opens up, you know what I mean? Our lead actress, I can't think of her name right now, like opens up with a nude scene. Like just, it's all on her.
Sally Hawkins.
Nude scene opens up on her. She gets in the tub and she's masturbating. You know what I mean? And so I was like, I don't know how to feel about it.
Where's this film going?
Yeah. Well, Shape of Water. You know, but that's... But that's the theme, you know, she's in the water, like that. We're starting off. She's doing her thing in the water, you know,
getting on the way to work. Telling you that there's something about being immersed in water that arouses her, that brings her to a certain place. Cause she's not just, she doesn't just turn the tub on. She turns on and floods the bathroom. Right. She's already flooding the bathroom with the water, right?
No,
like she doesn't let it over.
She's doing her little daily diddle.
The water splashing on the floor, though, right? Isn't
that's later on.
Oh, see, I thought that was... Oh, okay, my bad. I mean, jumping ahead.
Yeah, when she starts, it's just, you know, she's just doing her thing. So that was interesting. And I was like, man, I wonder why he put that in there, you know, because that was like a bold choice, you know, because especially with Americans, like we're, when it comes to like nudity and stuff like that, it's just like overly sexualized, you know, instead of just... Hey, this is a person naked. You know, usually you get naked when you take a shower or whatever, you know.
Facts.
But we get weirded out about that stuff. As American, our American perspective, we're weird about that. Especially if somebody's like freaking, what's it called?
Full frontal.
Nursing, you know, like nursing a baby. We're still tripping. So I was wondering, I was like, man, I wonder what that choice was. That had to be on purpose. And so I had to look it up. I was like, man, why did he decide to go that way with it? And he said he wanted to show very early on that this ain't your Disney's, you know what I mean? This is not the Disney's princess. This is not princess.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, this is not the Disney's version of Beauty and the Beast. You know, this is, our princess does this. And then on top of that, our prince eats cats. You know, if you remember in the film, like this dude is like munching on a cat live, ripped the head of the cat off and eats it. And there's blood drooling down. It's like, ooh, yeah.
Man, it's been so long since I watched it in theaters in 2017.
Yeah.
So it's been...
Let's jog those memories.
It's been 4 years since I've seen this. And I hadn't watched it again since, because likewise, I was kind of hoping and waiting that Guillermo would do a release with commentary. I think eventually this will drop under like the Criterion Collection and get a commentary.
But I was also... Because he always drops... Guillermo drops commentary and lots of features with all his little books and artsy things. But he felt like this one didn't need one at the time.
Guillermo, you're wrong.
He didn't need one for this one at the time. I wonder why. But what's our guy? The one that played the villain, that was a cop that was beating the crap out of everybody. And
Michael Shannon?
Dude, he had his fingers jacked up in the film.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite actors, man.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. That I do remember. It was rotting because they were rotting. And it was like, ugh, that was...
My fingers right now, I have a fracture on my ring finger. where the tendon actually like was poking against the skin, and then my index finger on my right finger is like jacked up. They're both in braces.
That was the click of the braces just touching just now. just for a visual effect.
So I could empathize a little bit about hurt fingers.
Yes.
And like, ooh. It was like, ooh. But his fingers, like while the ladies are like cleaning up after the whole incident happens with his fingers getting bit off, they find his fingers on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Jogs my memory. I remember back in 2003, I was a resident assistant at a college, and there was a guy who slammed the door, his dorm door on his own front two fingers, and they both fell. They cut off just like we saw in the movie, and I had to take him to the hospital. He literally drops his fingers in my back seat, in the back seat of the car. Bloop, 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 bloop. Man, I can't find my fingers. I said, just put them in the cup. So we put them in the cup. But they were like, kind of to the, it was, you know, small town. You know, the doctors were like, well, you might as well just throw these away, you know, because I don't.
Dang.
And this is a tall guy, so his finger is like, they were cut right before they bend.
Before the main knuckle?
Like one of those, not the first one, those are done, but about before the second knuckle, or right?
What That's is really this? The knuckle. I mean, I think most people, well, yeah, the first knuckle.
Yeah.
Let's say the first knuckle.
So, yeah. Yeah. So he could still bend it, but there was not much there. But he has real long fingers, so I was like, he'll survive. But I remember like being there with him, and they was like, yeah, you might as well throw these away, because if we attach them, they're probably not going to take, you know, just because I like how the injury happened. They were so smushed that those nerves were done for. So in this film of Shape of Water, we see that his fingers are rotting, like as they're.
Yes.
They're it's actually
kind of nasty.
They're rotting, and we see Michael Shannon like smell his fingers, and he's like, oh. And then he squeezes one of them, and like this like yellow pus comes out of it. It's like only Guillermo would do this. This is gross.
Yes, yeah. That part was like, ooh, dang.
Yeah,
it is at times the film is unflinching.
Yeah,
which is sometimes you kind of like that, right? You're there, and it's like, okay, this is just we're not hiding the. Again, in this fairy tale,
yeah,
it gets messy.
Yeah,
it gets bloody. It gets pussy. Yeah, it is.
Everything's raw. It's graphic. It's natural. As natural as natural can be.
It is natural and unnatural. It's unflinching, unapologetic.
Yeah.
And but there's obviously all this emotion behind it, because it is this very unique love story that is unfolding. And the character that is played by Sally Hawkins is deaf.
No, she's not deaf. She's mute.
I'm sorry. Yes, right. She's mute. She can hear, but she speaks in silent. She uses sign language.
Yeah, she can't because her vocal cords.
That's right. Right.
Were hurt when she was a little.
Right. So she uses sign language, which for me I love, because you know, I've studied some ASL back in high school. So I love when I see people signing. I'm like, ah. But yeah, it's a.
Yeah, it
fantastic
was
fantastic film.
So yeah, the music as it rolls the credits. Wife's like, I like that. I was like, yeah, wasn't too bad. It was the perfect time for us to watch it.
Well, good.
Yeah, we put the kids away.
Definitely put the kids away for the
bestiality and all that stuff.
Yeah,
going
on. It's a little wrong.
But yeah, it was good. It was cool. I like it. Well done, Guillermo.
Indeed.
What about yourself, brother?
So I watched a little bit of the first episode of The Witcher season one. So The Witcher is
the Rich Get Richer
is based on a novel series, which was then transformed into a video game series. It was very, very popular, very, very successful. In particular, like The Witcher.
Sounds familiar.
The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Is hailed as like one of the best games of the 2000s.
Okay.
Super, super deep. I've played a little bit of The Witcher 2. There's all, it's an RPG, open world RPG. Mm. That just means
how many hours?
More than you want to know.
No,
like 40, it's like, 40, you know, 40 hour plus. It's Ooh. Like a 40 hour plus kind of
okay.
thing. And they add expansions and all that. I didn't touch The Witcher 3. I was like, no, sir.
Yeah, it's not like you get sucked in on that one.
And this is about maybe 5 years ago. Man, let's say like 4 years ago now when The Witcher 3 dropped. But it's had multiple iterations. It's just,
Highly I think regarded. I heard about this. I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah, this dude with all white hair. So Henry Cavill took on the role of the Witcher.
Okay.
And so, you know, it came out last year, maybe even 2 years ago now. And so, but there's a second season that's being developed.
Is it entertaining?
I enjoyed the first episode. It was a little slow. They're building up a lot of the mythos. If you don't like know a whole lot about the dude, which I knew a little bit. Again, I played some of the second game. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those games. It was even that one was deep. I was like, man, there's so much you can do, and a lot of stuff you can do. But it's interesting seeing Cavill in this different role, right? It's definitely not, you know, not Superman, but still kind of got a dark kind of brooding thing going on with him, because he's kind of a bit of an outcast, and he's a bit of a he hunts, you know, he's kind of hired to hunt down different people, down different things, but usually for quote unquote good causes. And so there's a lot of intrigue that's there. So eventually I want to go back to check out some more of it.
How many episodes and how long episode? Yeah.
So The Witcher itself.
Sorry. I didn't.
that was Google looking like.
I didn't know what that was.
A notification.
Yeah.
But The Witcher itself. Let's see here. The show, the episode was, I want to say it was about 50 minutes for the episode that I watched.
That's an investment.
Episodes are running, no, scratch that. Make it an hour.
Whoa, how many episodes for this first season?
Episodes? Only eight.
8 hours of your life.
They're averaging an hour. There's one episode that's 47 minutes, and the last one's only 59, but the other ones are running right at an hour and 7 minutes is the longest. So yeah, it's averaging an hour.
What platform?
Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, 8 episodes, so 8 hours.
Of The Witcher. Content. Yeah, you didn't sell that one at all.
Yeah, I watched that episode. I think maybe Sunday, and I hadn't gone back to it. So, yeah. But also again, grad school started up as well. So I.
Yeah, we'll wait to hear.
Yeah.
What episode two brings us.
Indeed.
My wife and I, we actually today watched a documentary on Hulu again called Naughty Books, and it kind of dives into the world of romantic novels and how it kind of crossed over into the mainstream, the romantic novels, especially like, you know, they basically say that romantic novels are like, you know, porn for women, you know, because women are about the words, guys are about the visuals, still smut. At the end of the day,
smut. That word is always so funny to me. Smut.
At the beginning of the movie, this woman is like with her husband, like going through her iPad on her Kindle app, and she's like showing you the covers of all these books with guys with their chest out, long hair. You know, and you say, yeah, this is bad. She said, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't, you know, I don't have any other vices, so my thing is smut. I read smut. She wouldn't even let her husband look at the cover. She was like, oh, this is even bad for you.
I can only imagine now with the anonymity of being able to then just get them online, like not having to go into a store and buy, but just be able to download.
Oh, that's been around since the Kindle app was developed.
Right, but I never thought about connecting like those, right? I mean, there's all other kinds of stuff, but I never thought with like the romance novels, like where...
Oh, I see what you mean.
And that's fascinating.
So, and then it kind of goes over like the crossover of this genre. And the crossover was like the 50 Shades of Grey, you know. Mm-hmm. You look at that book, it looks boring, like the original. It's like, well, what is that? You know? But little did anybody know what's really going on in that book.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I never read it, but that's just kind of showing of like the crossover of the romance genre. And then on top, so with that crossover, now you have a flood of independent authors. So you have authors that may not be getting picked up by Simon & Schuster, but they can just publish directly to Amazon, and they've become millionaires during this, when this trend was happening. And so this filmmaker is documenting some of those authors. It's kind of cool to see their stories.
Interesting. There is a documentary on Hulu. There's a couple of documentaries that kind of caught my eye, but based on our conversation last time, we were talking about Sex and the City, and just like decisions made as far as what's going to be shown and how characters are portrayed, and just levels of sexuality, right?
Right.
There's a documentary on Hulu that's that's about like the history of sexuality in Hollywood. I watched the trailer for it. I was like, oh, I wanted to check that out just so conversation wise. But it's on Hulu, and it goes up from early times in different areas of censorship and how things have changed, and then kind of getting to the conversation with the Me Too movement, and now you know, things kind of going to a certain extreme, but then now having people in place like consultants, right, to make sure that people are treated, you know, a certain way on set, and who can be there and who shouldn't, and make sure everybody's comfortable. So it's fascinating to hear that evolution, that journey within dealing with those kinds of scenes within the movie. So I'm very interested to check that out, especially after our last conversation. So that is another trailer that I did.
Do you remember the name of it?
I'll tell you in a moment.
Because I remember watching a movie, I believe it was called Schlock, and it was a documentary, and it was kind of diving into that a little bit, but kind of talking about B-movies and like some of the history of Hollywood being, not even Hollywood, but just films in general when it comes to sexuality. They wouldn't show anything, like, for example, like I Love Lucy and all this stuff. Like, we're not going to show anything. They sleep in separate rooms.
That's
You know what I mean? It's like, huh. If you watch that, you're like, you know, you start asking questions, especially as a little kid, you're watching this, you're like, why do they do that? But, you know, they have the same,
the queen,
bed,
the master,
just one big bed, size, you know, bed. You know, you ask questions, you're like, why are they, you know.
That's so the kids can jump in when they have nightmares.
Oh,
not exactly.
This is purely political, son.
So I never heard the word propaganda.
Huh? So like in some of those so the early like kind of quote unquote sexual films were kind of talking about like things like syphilis or pregnancy, and you might see like the baby coming out, so like that's all you could shoot. So it's like these strict rules, but it's funny how it goes like from that to like fast forward maybe 15 years from that, and you have these hardcore sexual films where men are like beating women like as part of, you know, the actual movie. You know, that was like a thing that was like trending for a while.
Yeah. And this dives into, I mean, like all those aspects. It's called Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies.
Huh.
And that is on Hulu.
Well done. Well done.
Another one I'm going to be checking out that I added to my stuff is a documentary called Tiny Shoulders, Rethinking Barbie. And it kind of goes through how Mattel began to, looking at the history of Barbie and then beginning to change her up, because, you know, Barbie in its inception was quite revolutionary, especially like they'd made like a Barbie like in space fairly early on. And this is back when, again, during the times, a lot of women were still, you know, both women and men having the mindset of women just being at home, being, you know, mothers or other limited areas of careers. And Barbie was showing that, no, you could be more. So was pioneering then. And of course, now when you go into the toy stores, you see all kinds of different shades of Barbie. Like they're working at it. They're working on it. So interesting fact, just in my grad research.
Oh,
the okay. two of the co-founders of Mattel, husband and wife team, along with their other business partner, Barbie is actually named after their daughter, Barbara. And then the Ken doll is actually named after their son, Ken.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Fun fact. I tried. There's a show on Netflix called Legends, I believe. The Legends or Legends something. It's like a superhero something.
Like Legend of Jupiter? Jupiter's Legend.
Yes.
Yes. Jupiter's
totally Legend. Totally destroyed that. I was just randomly kind of going through it. I was like, oh, I never heard of this, but the thumbnail looks interesting. All right, got some free time. You got 15 minutes to wow me.
Ah!
So I hit play, and it just felt like, what did it feel like? It opens up with a little girl and a little boy, I guess their brother and sister, fighting. She uses her powers. She has superpowers. She uses them how she shouldn't be using them. Then her dad flies in, boom, out of the sky. You shouldn't be using your powers. With great power comes great responsibility. you know, you hear the whole speech.
The whole speech.
He's supposed to go take them to eat ice cream, and then he hears somebody in the distance. I gotta go, kids. And then he flies off. It's okay. So that's the intro. I was like, the suits look off.
Oh.
You know, like just like it's like certain things, you know, especially, I mean, Marvel's been doing this at like a superior level. So, I mean, you're in competition.
You're going to get judged.
You're in competition with these guys. Keep it real. It's like, I said, the suits. I was like, I don't know if the suits were intended to look a little off. You know, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? I'm saying, like, all right. And then fast forwards like 15 or 20 years present time. The boy's a little bit older. He's in a coffee shop. The racially ambiguous woman gives him a cup of tea.
He said the racially ambiguous woman.
Black, but not, you know, not too black. And then
I need a little cream in that coffee.
Yes. Yeah. She gives him a smile. He smiles back. She turns around. He hears something. The coins are there, and she looks around. Where did he go? Then he goes to, you know. Then we see this thing happen in the street. I'm like, this is a bank robbery. I'm like, I can't.
The classic.
Trope. I've seen this too many times.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since I just watched, what did we just watch? Invincible, the animation is like, those tropes are already in there, but Invincible gives you a different flavor because it's animation. Yeah. I was like, I'm out.
So, Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah.
I watched the first maybe two episodes.
Yeah.
Over a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been back. I wanted to like it. It's one of the things I wanted to give it a shot. I wanted to like it, but it's just, there's just something about it that just didn't.
That didn't
grab me. Yeah, there were some interesting aspects, but just not interesting enough. And I highly think that, yeah, Invincible just is.
It checked off every box you needed. You know,
yeah, I was like, wow, this is.
We have the boys. We've already seen the boys. It's its own thing. We've seen the boys, so we got our flavor of that in the real world. With the animation, honestly, the graphic violence of Invincible actually feels more visceral than the actual, like, the boys dealing with humans. And mainly because that's a little bit over the top and comedic. Whereas Invincible is like, hey, this is not
horrifying.
Yeah, it's horrifying. You feel it with the characters.
Like, oh my god. Speaking of the boys.
Yeah.
Also, I saw this brilliant trailer. Where it was a trailer for the upcoming season.
Okay.
But it was all done through a very, like a conservative news show, like a 2-minute conservative show news brief. Of course, the network is the main network, main corporation in the show. And so their main anchor dude, you know, very much so kind of like a, you know, Tucker Carlson, Fox News kind of vibe going.
Yeah.
Freaking, it was brilliant. Like, just playing that whole angle and they're just, you know, giving updates. No one's seen Homelanders and and they're you know, naming the characters, but it's giving like this, almost like this mid, like in between season update.
Yeah, I'm with it.
And touch on these different characters. I'm like,
I'm glad they did that.
Freaking brilliant.
Like, I haven't seen it, but I'm glad they did that, because when you binge watch something, especially when they're dropping it like that, you need something to kind of
tide you over,
get you ready,
you hooked,
get us back.
Yeah, man. So there's going to be another one. Like, I think, how are they doing it? They mentioned a format of how it's coming out, but it kind of dealt with the number 7 or something like that. But there's going to be another one that drops. But it was super smart. I was like, yo, this kind of marketing. This is what I'm talking about. Like, that's just stepping outside of the box and making it work. So, yeah, that was very nice. Very, very nice.
Yeah, so sorry. What is it called? Jupiter Legacy?
Jupiter's
Dear God.
Legacy.
Everybody needs to stay away from superhero stuff. Just let Marvel do their thing.
Nah, you got to go for it. You, even if you fail, you still have to go for it. Because I want to say that's part, Jupiter's Legacy is a part of.
I'm tired. I'm going to tell you why I'm tired. There was a commercial. What was it? I thought I wrote it down. Is it Audi, Hyundai, something like that? And Disney Marvel characters are selling the cars.
Oh, yeah. It was Disney Plus characters. Like Falcon.
Black Widow, some more people. I'm like, this is all the way commercial. So I'm like, I can't even watch commercials without seeing these people.
They're going to get their money.
They are. Yeah. So it's like all the way corporate. So I'm just like, man,
I will take all the superhero stuff you can give me.
Like that, I haven't even, like, I was thinking about that. I was like, man, I haven't watched the Loki stuff yet. I do want to, you know, but I my brain's like,
I almost forgot to mention I watched Loki, man.
Yeah, I think you did on our other episode. You said you started watching it because I wanted to watch it. And I was asking you, is it good? Because I'm not just going to jump in.
It's solid. It is definitely worth checking out, and definitely
Black Widow too.
The end. Black Widow's good. Again, I think with Black Widow, you could wait till it comes just on Disney Plus. I think for you, your sensibilities, where your headspace is at now.
Yes,
just wait till it comes on just regular Disney Plus. Watch it with the fam. Yeah, you'll be good.
Okay.
Loki's worth checking out. Loki.
Is the flavor, is it family? Can family watch it? Or is it more like leaning towards an R with the Loki? Because they were getting kind of in Black Widow. Was it Black Widow or Captain? Winter Soldier. I don't know. They were kind of pushing it a little bit. Was it Black Widow? I don't remember.
Black Widow is just now getting her first movie, so it wasn't Black
Widow. No, on Disney. We watched, as a family, we watched, not Black Widow, Scarlet Witch.
WandaVision.
My brain.
It's all good.
Yeah. So WandaVision, I'm tripping.
What aspect of WandaVision you feel was kind of pushing?
Maybe it was Captain. Maybe it was the Winter Soldier one.
Was
Winter Soldier. Just violence.
With Loki.
But I guess on the Disney platform, they're not going to go too hard, are they?
No. Because they're
still keeping it PG-13.
Yeah, with Disney, PG-13. Yeah, everything's going to be PG-13 is the max they'll go. Because there's even been some films that are on there that they've edited and modified. So, yeah, they're going to keep it.
Hit them with the censor.
Yeah, they're going to keep it at a certain level. You might get maybe an S-bomb or something like that. But,
it was the Winter Soldier stuff then.
Yeah.
Because I remember somebody got killed, and then the kids were like, oh.
That's kind of theirs.
I was like, all right, Disney.
Yeah, but they're going to, yeah. But again, I mean, Thanos snaps Loki's neck in Infinity War. Holds him up and snaps his neck. Bare hands. Death.
Yeah.
Now, is it when John Walker kills a dude with the shield?
Yeah, it was rough. I remember the episode it was blood and it was over the top, and it kind of caught everybody off guard a little bit.
That was meant to be that was meant to happen. That was meant to shock everybody.
Yeah.
That was 100% shock factor, because it was meant to say, yo, they's got blood on the shield.
Yeah.
That was meant to make that was a very specific moment to make everybody say, oh, this guy's not Captain America. He's not supposed to have that. And you knew it was going to be downhill from there. So, yeah, it was well played. It was very effective. Because you pulled that right out.
I was like, all
right,
guys.
where are we going here?
Disney? I have children watching. You know this.
Yeah. But that was meant to stick, to make me say, oh, that's, wait a minute, that's a. But no, with Loki, no, there was nothing that was, I can think of that was like, oh, man, that was like just crazy, crazy violent. But it's, even so, I don't think Loki is for kids. Mm-hmm. From just like the kind of like the procedural standpoint, it's more, there's a degree of psychology to it. Mm-hmm. I think, maybe if you're junior high school, this is not going to be like as action packed or like the other ones. This is more, it's like a little bit of a, it's not a caper, but it's a bit of a procedural.
What does that mean? A caper?
Yeah.
You said it's not a caper,
like a time caper, kind of Endgame was a little bit of a time caper.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You're running around here and there, but this was slang for.
I thought caper. Is this what the new kids are saying?
Well, these capers, you know what I'm saying? Capers. No, but it's more of a procedural. So there's some thinking, there's some mystery to unlock, and you're dealing with time. But
yeah, I think my brain's just, I'm like, all right, if I'm going to watch something hero-ish, like, I want to confirm that it's good. You confirmed Invincible. That's why I went and watched it. You know what I mean?
Did you ever watch Utopia on Amazon Prime?
Mm-mm.
Yo, Utopia.
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 How How many seasons?
Only one season.
Really?
I can't wait.
Is it getting picked back up? Okay.
Yeah, definitely. It was Utopia was fire.
Fire.
Fire, son.
Okay.
Other things. Yeah. I've been watching Legion on FX, speaking of quote unquote comic related, but or comic origins, I'll say. It's not a quote unquote comic book show.
Not family oriented.
No. Not Legion. And it's again too
spiritual. They're dealing with psychic. Legion of Demons. Is that the one?
That's where the influence of the name comes from.
Yeah.
The character is the spoiler.
Might as well.
No, I don't want to do
okay,
that.
Okay,
no,
I'm not
gonna do that. Okay. We're like, man, I almost But I will say this, that name comes from the character having a bunch of personalities inside of him and being very powerful.
Yeah.
But man, the show is a mind trip.
And this was, what did you say?
This is on FX. Yeah, Legion on FX.
They have a great graphics department.
Mm-hmm.
Their key art is solid.
Yes.
Like they can just sell you off the key art every time. I mean, that's what you use it for. But
you're doing your job very well.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, dang, I never heard of this, but I might check it out. Isn't the Versace story or Versace something on FX as well?
Yes, I believe so. But yeah, Legion, I remember I watched the first season. I was like, what? It's one of those things where it kind of just like blows your mind. The performances are great. The lead actor is wonderful. Aubrey Plaza, she's in the mix. And yeah, it's yeah. Right. So again, I finally decided to, because it was unavailable for a while, because when it was playing, I couldn't watch it live. I just didn't have time. And then it just wasn't like available until.
So it's on the FX.
Until I got access to Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Okay,
yeah, it's on Hulu. It. That's where okay. I'm watching it. And the episodes are, yeah, they are long. You know, your 50-minute kind of run. But it's pretty incredible. But yeah, so I'm going through the second season of that. And then the other thing that I've watched is I went through this whole second season. It dropped on Netflix called Beast Stars.
Is that the animation?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think you remember. I remember you talking about this. Season. I don't remember what episode you talked about it on, but based on what you said, it is not for children.
No, it is not. It is not for kids, but kind of in the vein of,
ooh, wee.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
But but with that, it's if animals became humanoid, right? Anthropomorphic.
Okay.
They walk, they talk, they live in society, they wear clothes.
Yep.
And this is all kinds of animals. This is deers and wolves. This is lions. This is tigers.
I wish I could recall the episode. I remember you telling me this.
Carnivores and herbivores. That's the big difference within society.
Yeah.
Carnivores and herbivores.
Yeah.
How do they coexist? How do they live, do life, do school?
Impossible.
And there's this innate, nature is still like full on in effect. The carnivores know they have desire to eat and kill.
That premise alone creates the drama.
Yes. The tension is constantly there. Yet you're in the setting of like this college.
Oh man.
It's both carnivores and herbivores.
I'll watch it just for that person to lose control and just eat somebody. Like that's the scene I'm waiting on.
And well, you can watch the trailer, and that's kind of the premise. That's like the very start.
Yeah, okay.
Someone, a herbivore, has gotten killed and eaten clearly by a carnivore.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying to figure out who was it. And so you're following the tale of the lead character, this wolf. He's the wolf.
Oh.
But he's tall, and he's doing everything in his power to not look threatening.
Oh yeah.
And he's trying to hold back his power, and he's awkward and all this different kind of stuff, and he meets this little rabbit who is she's a rabbit, so she's small, but again, college age or whatever, and it's the dynamic is just crazy. But anyway, cut to the second season, and it's interesting where it went. Episodes were only like 20 minutes or so.
How many episodes?
Second
season. Do they drop them all at once?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I burned through the second season this week. Just like just little bits and pieces.
Well, I mean, 20 minutes is easy to digest. It's like boop, boop. You've been getting trained to look at an hour. So
yeah, a lunch break. Bam, 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 bam. Like, and
I think I like the smaller episodes, honestly. You know, because you don't feel like you're being a hostage. Sometimes with the long ones, you feel like, all right, let's get to the next episode.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I'll time myself. Okay, I can give this much, you know, if I'm eating lunch, something like that, or eating a meal. All right, let me get as far as I get while I'm eating. That's as far as I go. Boom, I stop and I'll come back to the rest later. But with Beastars, it's like,
It's enjoyable.
Just moving
right along. And that's the thing. I think that's a good barometer to, like, are you enjoying it? You know, kind of things like, all right, you're actually looking forward to the next episode, regardless how long it is. But sometimes those longer ones you can feel it. You're like, all right, I'm not coming back. That's how I felt with that hero one. I was like, man, this is supposed to be good, but I'm not.
You overstayed your welcome.
Yeah, they had 15 minutes to get it right.
So, and hey, you gotta be.
And what I saw, I seen before, and I was out.
Mm. You know, again, the standards should go up, and again, time is precious and valuable, and if you ain't feeling it, then nah son. But yeah, Beastars on Netflix
season 2.
Yeah, and again, I'm still processing it, cuz there's the one thing in it that I didn't like, how something ended, a lack of development in one area, well, I'm not going to give away.
Okay.
But as a whole, it was enjoyable, what I wanted to get through, but there's something I wanted more of in one particular area. But
okay,
but yeah, there's development and growth, and it was enjoyable enough to just kind of keep going.
I'm looking forward to Invincible. One of the last things, well, just something I just wanted to, like, I was watching on YouTube. It's called the name of the YouTube channel is called All Deaf. It's got a couple million subscribers. But the title was called Black Blasphemy. It's like the name, it's like an episode, like show. And so it's, how many guys was it? I think three. You got a host, you got somebody in the seat that's guessing who said this black blasphemous thing. And so there was one in particular said, is Blade better than Black Panther? And so this one guy has to guess what black guy said it.
And these, okay, now are these, he's trying to guess amongst like just different black celebrities or people who are in the room.
Okay. So it's three guys sitting down. He's got to guess which one of you guys said this blasphemous thing.
Mm.
But, you know, Blade is better than Black Panther. It's like, wow, makes you think a little bit.
If someone presents an argument, then you've got to hear the points at least.
Yeah.
To see, okay, what are we weighing? And which Blade are we talking about? The first Blade? Are we talking about the second Blade?
Yeah,
and are we talking about the characters individually? Or are we talking about the movie franchises? Are we talking about the comic book characters?
Like, I think specifically movie, because me, I don't. When it comes to like books being adapted or comic books being adapted, I accept them for the medium that they're on.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I had to get to that space.
Yeah,
it's not an easy place. Some people can't, which I feel sorry for, because that's got to be very frustrating. But yes, this is an alternate. This is an alternate universe. That's how I see it. Like, this is an alternate universe. That's how Marvel treats it. Literally, like, they have for every, like, movie or whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cinematic universe. For every cartoon, it literally has a universe number attached to it.
Yeah. I think that's the way. That's a good way to handle your product.
Yes.
And try to keep it separated. I understand people want to do their thing, but it's like, that's why you have the actual book. That's why you have the actual comic book. So you can kind of dive deeper into the things that people don't want to see.
And you can't fit all that history. You can't fit all that history.
People don't want to see it.
You have to bring on new audiences.
Like, the general audience doesn't want to see that.
Yeah, and you have to bring on the general audience. And so you have to make it palatable to them. And you have to hook them early. Say, okay, come with us on this journey. Which is, again, why what Marvel's done is so dadgum impressive. To hook you with Iron Man. Iron Man, who was not an A-level character. I knew who Iron Man was. But he was not A level. He was a strong B within Marvel context, but within general superhero
and
public,
and me, general audience coming in to watch it, I knew nothing about that background. I know they exist on comic books. I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at it, I was like, this is a well done movie.
Yeah, period. I still love that Mark III armor. I think still my favorite Iron Man armor. Mark 50 will be from Infinity War is my second. But mm-hmm. Yeah, the first, that first Iron Man armor, the scene where he like, where the tank shoots a missile at him and he dodges it.
Yeah.
And then he just
that was good.
Shoots that one little rocket out, and then as he's walking away, tick, tick, tick.
That's iconic. It's iconic.
Oh, yeah.
It's iconic, man. Yeah, from a movie standpoint, it was great. Yeah. Well done. Launch it. Same thing with Blade, you know. First, what, was that their first Marvel soup?
That is. I mean, yeah. Well, it's not their first good movie. So it was their first good movie.
So Blade was their first.
There's some blasphemy in there.
Financial, successful film, right? For Marvel.
Yeah, it had to be, because man, there was nothing.
Yeah, because that's what they're saying on this episode. If anybody wants to check it, the name of the episode, the name of the show is called, the name of the channel is called All Deaf, and then the name of the show is called Black Blasphemy. And so they like nerd out about reasons why it is or it isn't.
See, I like that. Yeah. I like that premise. Yeah. Like, yeah, I love the good conversations. Like, all right, lay your arguments down. Like, convince me. And I may not agree, but I want to hear the reasons. I'm down with that. If you got facts, you got some reasons, lay it down. I remember I saw this one dude on Facebook. This one, he's a comedian. And you can tell he just likes to do like hot takes just for the sake of whatever. And he went on this thing about Captain America. It was like, basically, he's not freaking even on, not that you have to be totally centered, but he's like barely on camera.
Oh dear.
Where he's like, he's off to the side, like on purpose, and he's turned like at his three quarter kind of view. Yeah.
If the visuals are annoying.
But he's doing it on purpose. Yeah. Though. I'm like, God.
Yeah, it's annoying.
And he's like, basically, Captain America is like trash because he's called Captain America. And he probably tries to make an argument that because he didn't end racism. I'm like, it's kind of in the middle of fighting a war for
the TV show or the movies?
Like the movies. Like, why didn't he end racism? I'm like,
wow.
What, really? you go put, he's called Captain America. I'm like,
skip. Yeah, I'll skip that.
Yeah, one. I was like, I was gonna comment. I was like, I'm trying to get much, much better. I know I am getting better at like just
dislike it. Just hit
just not replying.
Just hit dislike.
Yeah. That's
thumbs down.
Probably gonna be the next steps. But I was like, I said, let it go. Thoughts in a cloud floating by.
Yeah.
It's part of my meditation. Thoughts
dislike.
In a cloud floating by.
Stress free. That's how we're living. Hit dislike and move on.
Yeah. Cause the nerd of me wants to be like, well, actually, sure, technically, there was a black guy who was a member of the Howling Commandos, if you notice. Secondly, he was fighting a war for all peoples in America. He gave his life in the ice. In the ice. Sure. I'll have you know.
So with that being said, he did end racism.
Take that. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, so I was getting better at just.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of complaining nerds out there.
Dude, I don't. That's the only part that sucks. You know, you got these people that really aren't doing anything besides commenting. They're not even good at that. Not even good at journalism. Oof. And so, like, what are you? You're not even good at saying this sucks.
No, man. Yeah.
So that's the part that's disheartening. Like, okay, at least have a good argument about it, or
you know, oh man, so, yeah.
Or at least write in this way where you can persuade us on your own perspective, and we can kind of see into your world, even if we disagree. But right. We can at least see your perspective.
This is trash.
Yeah, I'm like, eh. But that made me think a little bit about it. You know, they would go for based on economics, you know, it being financially successful, but then Black Panther being like this big, you know, billion, you know,
moment in history.
Yeah.
Black Panther is a cultural touchstone.
So it's kind of hard for me it's hard for me to say, you know, I can't say I like both equally because they're just different. But I'll probably watch Blade more than I watch Black Panther. That's probably a fact.
That's fair enough. After going back and watching the first Blade.
And I like Blade 2 better.
I do like Blade 2.
That's Guillermo did that.
Yeah,
one.
Blade 2, yeah. When we reviewed it, I had never seen it before.
That's right.
And I was like, oh dear. Oh dear.
That's my favorite one.
It got ice cold. Blade 2 was impressive.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with Blade 2.
But at any rate, so next week, or yeah, Monday, 99, episode
99.5.
And we'll cover Grand Budapest Hotel. Again, we thank y'all for kicking it with us, listening to our podcast. And I like these pre-shows.
Yes, sir. It's a lot of fun. We appreciate y'all. We'll catch you on the episode.
Until next time. Peace.
Respect.